Hey, everybody. Hey. Who's excited to be back from fall break? Aw, yeah. They got some people clapped. I don't know if you guys did something exciting on fall break or you wish you did something exciting. Who did something exciting? Yeah, we got some people. Who, like, the most exciting you thing did was watch a new, like, just old Netflix rerun kind of things. Yeah, yeah. let's be honest. You're not alone. We've all been there. We've all done that. Hey, so glad that you guys are here. Welcome to the TAP. My name is Trevor Brock. I am the college director here, and we're so excited to see you. We've got some new faces on stage. I'll introduce you to them in a minute. For a few, some of you, it's not new faces, but at the TAP, our two main goals, and the people who have been attending every single week, y'all know this very well, but if it's your first time, our goal is to get you connected to Christ and the mission of the local church. And we do that in two ways. One is through Growth Track. It's an amazing experience that happens on Sundays. It happens at 12:15 in the morning, or in the afternoonish, the cusp of the afternoon. And then at 7:15 in the evenings. And we serve you lunch both hours. And it's just an experience where we get to partner with you as a church to help you discover how has God specifically wired you, gifted you, given you special things that he hasn't really given anybody else to accomplish amazing things in your life. And we want to be a part of that. That's why we're here as a church. That's why we're here as the TAP. But tonight, one big thing we wanted to talk about is community. And we do community in one specific way here, and that's through small groups. And some of you might come from a church background. Y'all might have done small groups. You might have called them something differently, community groups, huddles. I don't know, just gatherings. That's a little bit creepy, the gathering. It's like you may not have called it that. That's a little bit spooky. But y'all might have had some experience. But tonight I have two amazing people. We've got Ashley. Give it up for Ashley. Yeah, yeah. And I got Andrew, man, Andrew over here. Cool. And these are two of our amazing, good looking small group leaders. They're all fantastic looking, but these are, you know, just, I thought they were great. You work at J. Crew after all. So he dresses finely. His hair is coiffed. And so I knew they would look good on stage and it would be great to have him here. So if you're in one of their small groups, raise your hand. If you're in Ashley's small group, give her a big round of applause. You small group people, she loves you guys. Who's in Andrew's small group? Anybody in Andrew's small group? Yeah, give him some love. Great, great. But rather than just go through the same old spiel again and just talk about small groups, I wanted to introduce you to two people. And for some prep questions, because we're going to interview them real quick. But two quick questions just so they can get to know you is, one, if you had a cool wrestler name, what would it be? We'll start with Andrew on this one.
Put me on the spot. Okay, probably, I don't know. I don't really like wrestling. I'm sorry, Kyle. I know you like wrestling. But either, probably like, I don't know, Kidney Punch or, you know, The Punisher or something like that. So, yeah.
Great, great. The Kidney Punch, man, that's the cheap shot. All right, Ashley, how about you?
I would probably be really lame and just choose my Instagram name, which is Danielle Dances, which has nothing to do with wrestling, but I'm
dance
not creative, so that's probably what I would choose.
I'm going to dance on your face because a wrestler. Oh, I know. Cool. So those are great wrestler names. Okay, this was a peculiar one. This was one actually I found on a card somewhere, so they're the weird ones to actually have written this. But if you could smell like one thing, you yourself could smell like one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? We'll start with Ashley.
Well, people are always telling me that I smell like laundry detergent. I guess that's because I'm always washing my clothes and I just put them on. So I would probably smell like laundry detergent for this.
That's great. That's great. Downy. Oh, downy softness. Cool. All right, Andrew.
Can I have two?
You can have two scents.
All right, because I couldn't make up my mind. So either I'd want to smell like a cedar forest because cedar's awesome, or I'd want to smell like Skittles because they're delicious.
What about cedar Skittles?
Are those a thing?
It can be.
Because if they're a thing, then I choose that one.
Oh, wow. That's kind of disgusting. All right, cool. So
I'd try it.
At least you didn't pick that as a wrestler name, Skittles. That would be a little less intimidating. Okay, great. Well, cool. Well, now that you know them a little bit better, just want to ask them three basic questions. First off, like, your experience with small groups. How did you guys actually get involved in a small group? And can you tell us a little bit about that experience? How did you get in? How are you connected to that? We'll start with Andrew on this one.
Okay, so I guess it would be second semester freshman year. I got invited by Bess to come to the TAP. And at that time, we did small groups immediately after the service. So I just kind of like walked in on one and immediately loved all the guys there. So I guess I've just been coming back ever since. So yeah.
Cool. So you got like sucked into it. That's great.
Pretty
That's
much.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Yeah. How'd you get connected with small groups?
I had came in on the end of last school year. So I had heard about small groups, but they were like almost over. So everybody's like, maybe you shouldn't come. Now it's not really like the time. And so I was really excited when I heard that we were going to have one this summer. Yeah. So this summer was actually my first small group, and that's pretty much how I got connected. And it was I was really scouting them out, like, where are these small groups? Awesome. So that's how I pretty much got connected.
Noteworthy small group, baby. That was the summer. Noteworthy. Cool. That's fantastic. So going through that experience, getting connected, what did you guys kind of get out of the small group? What was kind of your takeaway from being there the first time, walking through that with people? What was that like?
Definitely to get more perspective on like different, just the different topics that we were talking about, to hear everybody's story. I got a book handed to me, recommended to me. We actually didn't want our small, like a lot of our small groups would not, we would have to hard stop them because yeah. It would just be so much that we could talk about and so much to discuss. And I just had a lot of fun. So.
Cool. Andrew, how about you?
I really like the openness of the small groups because you know, throughout college, I've gone to a couple other small groups at a couple other college ministries, and I always felt like I had to have this facade that I had my life together or that I had all the answers. And you know that kind of made it hard to kind of connect with the guys. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I came here, like none of that was there. Like I could just be myself, and I feel like that was one of the biggest things for me was just being able to open up. You know, whether it's, you know, talking about, you know, my problems or just like, you know, just being open and like really connecting and like growing in those friendships. So that was really, really awesome when I found that here.
Yeah, totally. That's fantastic. So if you were trying to tell somebody, if you were inviting them to a small group, what would you really say to that person to kind of reach out and say, you should come be part of this because it's blah. It's like, this is what it's done for me.
I'd probably say that you should come to a small group because there's really no pressure there. You know, it's not like we're gonna like demand to know, you know, what your struggles are, like what your or try to learn your entire life story. You know, you can come there and you can just, you know, sit back and participate if you want, or just, you know, not show any or not do anything at all. It's like it's really open to kind of, you know, just be who you are. So there's no pressure to kind of like open and like tell us your whole story. You know, you can adjust to that. So, you know, it's open, yeah.
Cool, like a book. Like a, I don't know, Thomas Kincaid or whatever. I don't know, Thomas Kincaid? What's a good novel? Lemony Snicket? Lemony Snicket's better. Okay, no. J.K. Rowling? Oh, there we go. Lord of the Rings. Tolkien. Oh, there we go. You got the love. Okay.
I would say just for community to have people around you who are just like you. Because I think that Christians have a totally different worldview than a lot of people that we encounter on a day-to-day. So it's good to just come from work or come from school and go to your small group and just, like, pour out everything from a Christian, like, standpoint. Because when you're at school or when you're at work, people are really not going to understand. Yeah. And so just to have that community and have that belonging of people just to share with and talk with. So I would say the biggest reason why I would tell somebody to come is just for a sense of community, and it'll help you grow to see that other people are living the same life that you are, so that you have that community there. So
that's fantastic. Can you show them love one more time? Just give them a hand clap. You guys can have a seat. Man, yeah, I can just scoot them back there. That's great. Cool. Yeah, and just clap them off the stage. Just clap them right off the stage. Those lovely people, J. Crew models, each and every one of them. You guys know who to connect with now for clothing. At least the guys. I don't know about the girls. Do girls go to J. Crew? Is that that thing? No. Yes. Man, that's. Have you ever seen the girls' side of the store, and then you saw the guys' side of the store? It's like a bookshelf. It's just here's some hats, and then here's the rest of the store for the girls. So you dating guys who have to wander in there, I'm praying with you. But tonight, one of the things that we really want to hit on is this idea of community. And why is it so important? In a world that has so many Facebook friends and all that kind of stuff, it can be really tough to really know what community is supposed to be about, what that's supposed to look like, and why is that even a big deal? And I think that really, just in the few minutes, we're going to have a time after this, and really the whole purpose of tonight is really to build some of that community so you can meet some people, get to know them, that kind of thing. So we won't be here long talking. But I think there's at least two key points I want to hit about community specifically. And that is, first, community is a catalyst for anything you want to build or rebuild in your life. Community is a catalyst for that. And for those of you who don't know what a catalyst is, you're like, I don't know, that kind of sounds weird. A catalyst is like a spark. It's like a thing that causes, it brings about a reaction of some kind. And that's a catalyst sort of event in your life. And I want to just suggest to you that communities are that catalyst for anything you want to see built or rebuilt inside of your life. And I was going through the Bible and was just trying to think of a person who was trying to do something big in his life, and he needed a community of people to accomplish that. And I looked up this guy. His name was Nehemiah. How many of y'all have heard of Nehemiah? All right, cool. Most of you guys heard of Nehemiah. He's not really hard to find because he's in the book of Nehemiah. Some people you have to go searching for, but he's pretty blatant. It's like, I wonder who I'm going to study about and learn about in Nehemiah. Ruth. No, she has her own book. So Nehemiah is pretty solid, which you're going to learn. And what his basis was for Nehemiah is that he was the cupbearer to this king, a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And during that time, it was a pretty good job. He had all of his stuff going for him. Everything was kind of pretty cash. He was kind of like the Chick-fil-A worker, bringing it, my pleasure, sir. And so he did all that for the king, had a pretty cushy job. It was good. And then one day he kind of surveyed the landscape, and some people came to him and told him about his nation. He was an Israelite and a part of the nation of Israel, and found out that his homeland was just burned to the ground. It was just in rubble. And this impacted him so much. He's like, oh my gosh, the situation of my people and my home. I got to go help this situation. And so he got there and he kind of just walked around for a little bit, just around the city, like all the rubble and stuff. He was like, okay, let's just check this situation, surveying the landscape. You know, he had his measuring tools and all that kind of stuff. And he was like guessing about the problem, which is good. If you're going to start helping something, you actually need to measure the cost. Have you ever had somebody come into your issue that never took some time to get to know you first? And you're like, oh, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You don't like those people. So Nehemiah didn't want to do that. So he surveyed the landscape and tried to get some bearing on the situation before he spoke into the situation. Because that's what good people do. That's what you should do. And so he got the landscape, he looked at it, and he noticed that it was just burnt. Everything was just charred because it was overtaken. It was laid siege to. It was just barren. And I thought about that. And I was like, man, that's such a visual picture, I think, with how some of us have experienced relationships in our lives, that some of us have been burnt by relationships. Have you ever been burnt by a relationship? I remember one time, whenever I think of something burnt, my dad tried to make a Pop-Tart for me one time. And he made me a strawberry Pop-Tart. 5 minutes later, he gave it to me and said, Dad, I didn't want a chocolate Pop-Tart. I wanted a strawberry Pop-Tart. But he's like, this is one. And it was completely black. And that was the last time my dad made me breakfast. But we've all kind of know what it means like to be burnt, right? We kind of know that. And that's kind of the situation he was feeling. Like, maybe we've tried to be in a relationship before. Maybe we tried to be in with a friendship before or close to a person. And that resulted in a wound, some sort of burnt thing in my life where I just didn't want to try to be in a relationship again. I just don't want to be close to people. Have y'all had that experience? I just don't want to try that again in my life. And we've tried to be solo. We tried to be, you know, the Lone Ranger kind of thing. Lone Ranger's a dead ranger. That whole thing. We tried to go on our own for a while, but every Lone Ranger needs a Tonto eventually. So if y'all have seen that movie or had that experience, Tonto, he's a good guy. But we find out after a while that it doesn't pan out, right? We try to go on our own. We try to do it all alone by ourselves. And it just doesn't work. This doesn't pan out. Because you know what? A burn that you receive from a poor relationship can only be healed by a good one. A burn, that's worth writing down. I mean, if you got a burn from a bad relationship, the only thing that can heal the burn of a bad relationship is a good one, is a solid one. Now, that could actually mean you reconcile with the person you had an issue with before, or that may mean you just got to accept that, that bridge has burned, but it's not, that doesn't define you. That doesn't label you as a person not worthy of being close to anybody else. That does not label you as not being a good friend, not being a good individual. You can have healing and wholeness in your life. You can have a restored life, a restored relationship, and that's what God wants for your life. And that's what Nehemiah wanted for these people. So he went up to him. This is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 17, real quick. He said, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision or ridicule or people poking at him like, look, your gates are burned," that whole thing. You know the funny thing about Nehemiah was he put his finger on an issue that they already knew about. You know, that's the true thing about community. Whenever you get around people, they might put their finger on something in your life you've known has been a problem for a long time. Have you ever had an issue and you go to somebody and you kind of wear it like on your sleeve, like just on your facial expression and feel like, oh, there's something wrong with that dude. And so like they say, man, you look like you've been coughing and sneezing all morning. This guy goes, man, you're sick. I know that. I know I'm sick. But people like point out stuff about us that we kind of know, like we've lived in it a while, or we might've even come to this person before with this issue and they kind of put their finger on some hurt. They might put their finger right on the burn that has influenced us in our life. The only thing different here is these people lived in it all the time. These people were sitting and living in their rubble all the time. I want to talk to you just about living in your rubble. How many of you have known some people who live in the rubble? Have experienced some people like, you're a rubble liver. You just stay there all the time. These are the people who are like, man, I just don't know how. And these are the people who are like constantly, it just seems like the same thing. It's like deja vu talking to these people. It's like, you told me the same thing in the last conversation we had. We've talked about this stuff. We've covered this stuff. What's going on? They just live in their rubble. And the thing is, they've never had a person put their finger on a burn in their life before because they can't see it. Because sometimes some things that are so plain to us or you or me, it's not so plain to them. You know, the truth is you got stuff like that too. And sometimes we need somebody to come and survey our landscape, see the burns we've got and put our finger right on it and say, man, you need to deal with this. Because that's what a good relationship does. That's what a good relationship does. If first, you can write this down, community brings restoration. Community brings restoration. That's the first point. A good community puts its finger on a problem, forces us to address it, because we can confront an issue, but that doesn't mean you have to deal with it, right? That's when it's on me. I can be in a community of good people, and they can tell me the same things over and over again. Man, you need to watch after this. You need to deal with this. It's hard issues. It's confronting issues. It's in your face kind of issues. And I have to decide whether I'm going to deal with it or not, right? I always have that choice. But then they encourage you to move you forward. That's what good communities do. That's what good people do that you want to be in relationship with. So finally, number two, this is something that I think is so pivotal and it's so blatant about communities. We see it all the time. We see it all just throughout. It's kind of like a no-brainer. When I say it, you're going to be like, well, duh, Trevor, of course that's what happens when you're in community. And so I'm not going to wow you by this statement. That's why I'm going to hold on for a few seconds and, you know, try to build this up and make you hand clap or something, because it's not going to be that impressive. But the thing that gets in the way of this is a new statement I've figured out. Have you all heard this new expression called you do you? You do you, man. Yo, dog, you do you. We usually say that to people who like should not do what they do, but they just do it. Dude, I'm going to eat like 40 cheeseburgers. Yeah, man, you do you. Yeah, you go do that. And I was just perplexed by this statement. I didn't know what it meant. And so I looked on Urban Dictionary and you do you actually means the act of doing things that you normally do. Nothing more, nothing less, just being yourself and showing everyone else who's boss. You do you. Man, see, that's what people do. And we wonder why we don't want to be in community with people, because everybody's a you do you person sometimes. I'm sometimes a you do you person. I want to do me. I want to do me. Like, I don't want to worry about nobody else. I want to do my own thing. Have y'all ever, like, been in that situation where you don't want to really deal with, whenever there's group projects, you just want to do you. I know your grade. I don't want to do you. You do you, I'll do me, and we'll be along fine. That's amen. Amen. I just give a hand clap for that. Self-projects. Pray for one another. Dear God, those are terrible. But because it forces us in those situations with people who have a lot of burns, and that's a whole nother topic. But the thing about this is, when everybody just does the whole you do you mentality, I'm just going to deal with my own stuff, I'm just going to be me, you really can't do much when you just do you. Did you know that? You do you doesn't do too much. You can only go so far just doing you do you, because the problem is you can't do it all. I reference this evening and everything that's going on. If I just say, I'm an okay speaker, right? I mean, I'm all right. I can put sentences together. I can't write worth anything. I misspell things all the time, but I can talk. And so I'm good at talking, speaking. And but if I just focused on my thing and just did my thing, this microphone wouldn't be on. Like, if there was no one else here and I was just going to do me, nothing else would work. Because behind the scenes, there's a person doing that cool graphic thing. There's somebody running the audio. Give a hand clap to the person doing the audio. There's people out there doing fun stuff for you right now that you're going to see afterwards. There's people who are running small groups. This whole thing, the tap would not work if I just did me. If I just said, forget it, I'm just going to go out on UNCG campus or whatever campus, Guilford Tech, anything like that. I'm just going to be me, and I'm just going to make stuff happen. I don't need nobody else. I can't do this. You wouldn't be here because I'm not that good. Yeah, that's where you say, no, Trevor, that's not true. And then yeah, that's true. But, I mean, no one's that good. You can only go so far with just yourself. And here's a question. What if God wants to do something in your life that's bigger than yourself, but you're not going to ever be a part of it because you're just too busy doing you? Or you're too afraid to be with other people? Because the problem, this is something that we know just by people picking stuff up. If you get a bunch of people together, they can lift an elephant probably, but you can't lift no elephant by yourself. It's a very, we know this, but the tough thing is sometimes we're so busy we want to do it ourselves. And this is what Nehemiah actually came up against. This came in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 and 13. It says, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much trouble by ourselves. We will not be able to rebuild the wall. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in an open place, I stationed the people by their clans with the swords, their spears, and their bows. The thing is, everyone has a job. Everybody's got something that they're specially designed, specially gifted to do. And when you're in community, man, you're able to do so much more. So my second point is, community brings strength. Community brings strength. Community brings healing, and then community brings strength. And I want to speak to the guys for a minute, just because by pure math, girls do so much better at this than guys. I mean, that's just the plain obvious truth of it. Girls do so much better at this than guys. Because you know what we always think small group means for guys? We think that means we're going to sit around, we're going to talk in our issues and like all that kind of stuff. I'm going to divulge everything in my life. And we just don't want to do that. We just don't want to guys don't want to just sit around and talk about their stuff. Sometimes we don't even know what our stuff is. We're trying to figure out our own stuff. How am I going to talk about your stuff? I'm thinking about we don't like stuff. We don't even go shop for stuff. I don't know. So it's just guys don't normally do this. So whenever I probably said community, half you men with testosterone probably just checked out. We're like, community? That's a TV show I watch, but I don't do anything else. So with guys, it's really tough because sometimes we just get stuck in the first part of a small group with dealing with all the rubble, all the junk, and guys don't want to hang out there. We want to do something. We want to do something together. That's what small groups are supposed to be. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be. You're not supposed to stick around with all your issues all your life. Did you know that? You're not supposed to stick in the whole salvation bucket all your life to where every time somebody says, hey, I want to accept Christ, I raise my hand. Did you know whenever I was younger, I raised my hand almost every single service? because I was afraid of hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to make sure that God knew I didn't want to go to hell. I did that all the time. And so I just stayed in this whole cycle of, yes, I'll go, altar call, here I am, Trevor, why are you here? And it's like they had to get healing. And so every single time they knew I was coming, my pastor was like, oh, here he comes. And so it's just like we can get stuck in this whole like, God, I did something wrong. God, I'm sorry. God, please don't be mad at me. And then that's where we stay for the rest of our life because we think God's constantly against us. But there comes a point in a Christian walk, there comes a point in our life where we need to get healing, we need to deal with our stuff, we need to stop running away from relationships in our life because I went to this church or in this church, I went to this relationship because they got to this point where they hit this issue and I'm never gonna change on this issue or this problem, so I'm just gonna find another person. Or I'm just gonna find another place where I don't have to deal with this thing. Do you know what? God's probably doing that because he wants you to deal with that thing. That's what community's about. And unless you're in community and you want to be by yourself, you'll never get past that. You'll never get past that. You'll never be able to do all that God's called you to do. Because, man, you need healing. But then you need strength to be able to do it because we're better together and because together, man, we can pull off stuff like this. You guys could pull off stuff. God might have given you something specific to do at your campus, and you're thinking, man, it's too big for me. You know what? You're right. You're right, probably. It is too big for you. But look around. You got a whole bunch of people who want the same thing. There's probably a whole bunch of people who are thinking the exact same thought to do the exact same thing, but they think to themselves, well, it's just too big. Man, get in a small group, share that. This is what God's been dealing on my heart. I think he's given me this crazy dream. He's given me this crazy thought, and I want to do this with my life. This is going to be great. He's calling you to do that. So guys, we're going to just, for the rest of the time, we're just going to hang out, have some time. There's going to be some cool things to do in the back. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we're about to go into another worship song and just close out. I just want to give you an opportunity during this song just to think for a minute, to dream a little bit. Like, what is God calling me to do? Has God given you a dream before? And you've kind of just let it phase out because you thought it was too big for yourself? Has God given you a thing to do in your life that you thought was too big, so you just kind of let it go? I want you to be able to bring that thing in your mind. And every single week we go into a reflection time. And a lot of it's like, God, I want to deal with this issue. God, I want to deal with this thing. I dare you tonight on that card to dream big, to think about something. What is something that you want to do in your family, with your career, in at your school, in your small group, in the community, wherever you are? What is something you think God's calling you to do that you've just stepped away from because you think it's just too big? It's just too big. And pray about it. Share it with your small group. That's what small groups are for. And I guarantee you, man, if you start dreaming and you think that way, God's going to start addressing some things in your life you never thought you could get healing from, and he's going to give you some strength to empower you to do everything he's called you to do. Guys, as we go into worship, I want you to think about a verse. There's a verse that says, God's looking to and fro, looking for people that he can empower to accomplish the things he wants to do in the world. That he's looking to and for the people who he can empower. It's the Lord who arms me with strength. That's what David said. So you guys can stand on to your feet. We're going to go into a worship time. And as we worship, just think, God, what are you calling me to do? God, what are you speaking to me right now? Write that down on your card and give that over to him. So let me lead us in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you so much for this time. We get to have fun. We get to be in community together. And God, just pray, be speaking to our hearts. Be talking to these students right now. You're speaking to hearts right now to move them in a powerful way, to move them to do things that only they can do because you have designed them to do it. And God, they don't want to let that pass by. We don't want you just to pass over us, Lord God, because we're too worried or there's issues in our life we just don't want to deal with because it's uncomfortable. God, we want to press into everything that you have, everything that you have. So God, right now, I just pray over these students. God, open our eyes to dream again, to dream bigger, to come together as a community, to work together in strength so that we can accomplish the things that you place in our hearts to do. We pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen.